Well, I want to say good morning to you all, so good morning. Today we're going to be taking a break from our taking a break from Matthew, okay? Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, and so we're going to be looking at that this morning. In 1980, Ronald Reagan initiated this by proclamation that the second Sunday of January would be a day to recognize and celebrate the value of life. So this day, we stop each year and we recognize that life has value and that we should uphold it and not degrade it. And so you say, why does the church participate in something that's a secular event? And I thought about this week, but I said, out of all the peoples of the world, those who believe in and worship God, the Creator, are in the best position to know and understand the value of life and to share that knowledge with the world who are lost in their lies and their deceit. So I want to look at this morning, Jeremiah 1. Jeremiah 1, verse 4, listen to what it says. It starts out in verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came about in those days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah tells us that God told him that he was formed by God. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read it, that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it. We thank you, God, that we can gather together and sing praises to you and hear your word and listen to it. And Father, I pray that as we do so this morning, you will fill our hearts with it, that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand and to know the things that you want us to know. We don't take this lightly, Father, for you are the Creator. And so we ask that you would help us to understand the things that you've written, that they might bring us a better understanding of our relationship with you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jeremiah says something to us which is really interesting, because he says he was known before he was formed in the womb. God knew him. Imagine if the whole world understood that God knew them before they existed. How incredible that is to know that God knew us before we were even formed. Jeremiah was not an accident, nor was he the result of an error in judgment or too much wine on a dinner date. This is true also for you and I as well. It is also true for every other person who was born. God does not only know and love those who were saved, but he knows and loves even those who are sinning against him. He knows every person who has ever been formed in the womb. And note what it says, that God tells us he formed him in the womb. And this reminds us that we are all the creation of God. Even though Ray Bradbury may be disappointed to be told this, Man does not have very much to do with what we look like or who we are. Yes, we make choices in our lives, and we enjoy the benefits that come with those choices. We also suffer the consequences of those choices. God has all of that in his sovereign control. God formed us, and we are his creation. He knows every detail about us. Jesus tells us in Luke that God knows every hair on our head and that they are all numbered. God knows all about you, and he knows everything that you will do before you even do it. He does not force you. He knows you. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship. The Greek word here for workmanship is where we get our term masterpiece. Imagine, you are a masterpiece of God. And you were created to do good works that he prepared for you to do. In Ephesians 1:4, Paul tells us that we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? Before God created anything, he knew you and chose you. Man, we are chosen by him. This is kind of an overwhelming idea, and it may be hard for us to comprehend, but that doesn't make it untrue. It is still truth that we are God's creation. And in his mind, you are a masterpiece. We are flawless in creation. Now you might ask, what about those who were born with disease or imperfections? That doesn't mean they're an error. God does not make errors. He does not make mistakes. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples and he's going to the temple and he comes across a blind man? I'll let you read about it. It's in John 9, the first 7 verses. But in there, they say to him, "Who sinned? Him or his parents?" And Jesus says neither one of them sinned. There's no mistake here. He says he has been prepared so that God could show his mighty work in him. That's a hard thing to think about. I was looking at another scripture. There's a man who was lame for 38 years. And Christ came and healed him. He was lame for 38 years so that Christ could do a good work in him. There is no mistake in what God does. We can all recount stories of people who suffer from ill will or ill health or other issues who ultimately conquer and do great things for God. Why? Because God uses everyone who serves him for his purpose. In Ephesians 5:6, and I apologize, but today I'm going to be moving around through the scriptures, and I don't want you to be too upset, but that's what we'll do. I'll try to let you know as we go. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Don't be deceived. Don't let the world try to tell you that you are just the result of some biological event. You are the creation of God. He created you just the way he wanted you to be. There's nothing about us that is not in his sovereign control. The world says that there are some who are born who are not worth living. They also say that there are those who have outlived their useful life. Neither of these comments is true. They are lies of the evil one, and they are designed to deceive mankind into sin. Christ says through Paul, don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Know what I have said. Compare what God's word says with the lies of the world. The world says, we just came about by the choice of men. That's all it is. It's just the outcome of a choice by human beings. And that is why the world then goes on to say, since we chose, then we can choose to eliminate or destroy. Since they say that it came by chance and without real will, then there's no real value in life. And if there's no real value in it, then we can choose to destroy it. How ignorant man is to think that he has the right to choose anything. That kind of ignorance is what brings about the acceptance of euthanasia and abortion. When there is no value to something, there is no consequence to the destruction of that thing. Where does man get the idea that he can kill with impunity? What does God say? Go to Exodus 20. God says, you will not murder. Murder is the unlawful killing of another human, of a human by another. And God says it is a sin. But to reach the conclusion that it's acceptable, mankind must twist the law of God, stating that God, what God says is wrong and what man says is right, or that what God has created has not been created by God or by anyone else. But listen to what Isaiah says. In Isaiah 5:20, he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what the evil one does every day. And those who listen to him will fall into the sin that he promotes and will suffer the consequences of their sin. Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't let yourself be led astray by the lies of the world. We are the creation of God. And because we are his creation, we are valuable. Each one of us. Remember, Jesus told us in Matthew, we read, that every sparrow is of value to God. He says a sparrow doesn't fall that God doesn't know about. And you are worth more than many sparrows. If God knows when that happens, does he not know and value you, his prized creation, his masterpiece? God knows each one of us intimately, and he wants each one of us to come to a relationship with him. We are very valuable to him, even though we are sinners. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross and to pay the price for our salvation. God says we have value that we cannot comprehend. We are so valuable that he sent his only son to die so that you could be with him. Jesus says in John 15:14 that we are his friends if we obey his commands. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, we cannot be ignoring his commands. It is impossible to call yourself a follower of Jesus and not follow. Right? How do we know all these things? Because the Bible tells us. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul tells us that all scripture is God-breathed. It is his word. It is not simply what a man wrote down because he was having gas that day. It is not the supposition of man. It is not the great thinking of man. It is written by man, but it is the word of God. And Paul says it is all there by him. God says in his word, we have value. And what's God's word is truth. It is absolute truth. It is his truth. And for us to ignore it is to disobey him, because by acting in opposition to it, we are saying his truth is not truth. But it is. And how we respond to it does not change what it is. Now, all that being said, I ask you, who are we, mankind, to question God about his word or his truth? I want to take you back to the Old Testament, to Job, our good friend Job. If you haven't read Job, I encourage you to read it. It's 40 chapters. It's an excellent read. And at the end of the book, in chapter 38, listen to what happens here. Listen to Job 38, 1 through 3. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man, and I will question you, and you make it known to me." Now, if you go back to the beginning of Job, God makes a statement about him. He says, "There is no one like Job on earth. A man who is blameless and upright and fears God." This is how God describes Job. This is a great man who fears God and trusts in him. And the first two chapters of Job are all about what happens to Job. And the rest of the book is Job wrestling with this idea. Does God really care about me? Am I important to God? Does God really know I'm here? And then God comes and he talks to Job here. And I want to point out something to you. He says, it says that God answered Job out of a whirlwind. That's a tornado. God doesn't come and just visit with Job. This is not sit down with God for coffee time. God comes in his might and in his power, and he answers Job and he says, "Who is it who questions me, the Creator? I am Almighty God." And then I love what he says to Job. Imagine you're Job. I want you to just think about this. You're Job. God comes to you and he says, "Dress like a man, and I'll ask you the questions." Wow. God says that to you, you better start shaking. God says, "Who are you that you would come and ask me? I am the Creator. I am Almighty. I have gone through all of creation." And he begins to go through and discuss with Job all that he has created, all that he has done. And Job gets it almost immediately. He says, "Oh, I asked one question. I won't ask again." Not because he is afraid of God, but because he fears God for who he is. We have absolutely no right to ask anything or demand anything of God. He is God. He is Creator of all things. He gives to us because he loves us, because he is benevolent to us. But we have no right to demand of him. The point is that God is truth and righteousness, and so we should be obedient to him. when we bring this fact together with the fact that he created us and knew us before creation, we begin to see that we have fabulous value to God. He created us. He placed us here. He made us exactly the way he wanted to make us. And he knew us before he began creation. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning. And it talks about the creation. Paul tells us that before that, God knew you. And he chose you. And he loves you so much that he sent Jesus, his only son, to die on a cross so that you could spend eternity with him. And we have no right to ask him anything. And yet he says, come to me and ask me everything. We have value because God says we have value. It has nothing to do with what the world says or thinks or does or tells you. Your value is because God says you have value. Value to me. John 15:13 says that there is no greater love than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. Because he considers you his friend. The one who God knew, who God created, who God put on earth to do things for him, Christ died because you're his friend. Who are we to question God's purpose or his will or his sovereign authority over all creation? We belong to God and we are ambassadors to the lost and dying world. We as believers here are being called together to grow into the abundant life of Christ. This life is from God and it is for his glory. And if we are going to call ourselves followers of King Jesus, then we must treat every life with the same respect and dignity that God treats it. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says that God wants all to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Not some, all. Since that is God's desire, it should be our desire as well. And since God says that all life has value enough to merit the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we should express that same idea in everything that we do. We must recognize that everyone is a creation of God, from the unborn baby to the homeless person to the lost sinner living next door to the elderly neighbor who seems to have no purpose in life. Proverbs 22:1 says, the rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Since God created everyone and he wants everyone to come to a saving relationship with him, then it is our responsibility to recognize all created men and women as valuable to him and therefore to us. We are called to be disciple makers that go into the world and make disciple makers. That is who we are. And we do that because every person is of value to God. There is none who has no value. All followers of King Jesus must live our lives in a way that show this to the world. We do not have to be shy about it. We should be ready to stand up and say, our God loves everyone because he created them. And because he created them and wants them to be in relationship with him, he sent his son Jesus to die for them. And that's what we should be shouting. We don't have to argue. We know the truth. And the truth is that God is the creator of everything. and he loves everyone, and therefore every creation of his has value. And we need to know that and share that and tell that to the world. He has loved us since before creation. He sent his son to die for our sins. Everyone is valuable to God, and therefore they are valuable to us. We need to do what we are able to do to help every person know that God loves them, that their Savior Jesus died for them, and that they need to be reconciled to him. And do not be deceived by the evil one who will lie through his teeth, because that's all he knows what to do. Jesus says that when he speaks, he tells lies because that is his native language. And we cannot be deceived by that. We must hold to the word of God and to know it is true. All people have value, because all are created by God for his glory. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come before you. We thank you that we can read your word. Oh, we praise you, God, for your truth is always there before us. We thank you because you fill our hearts with your glory. You fill our hearts with your love. And God, we pray that you will help us to share that love with the lost of the world. There's not one who has ever been formed by you in the womb that does not have the value that you placed on them, that Jesus Christ would die for their sins, that they would be reconciled to you, and then they would spend eternity with you. That is your desire, God, and therefore that is our desire. And I pray that you will help us every day to remember that and to stand up boldly and say, my God created you. God created you, and he loves you, and he wants you to be with him. And there is no greater love anywhere but that he did that for you. God, help us to walk with you. Help us to share that good news with those around us. Help us to stand up boldly and speak out for you, because you are God Almighty. We thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name, so that all the glory and honor goes to him. Amen.